Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Hello folks, welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, one of the fastest and most informative half hours in all of radio, where we learn to discern the distance between good and evil, the difference between right and wrong, and discern God's will for our lives. The subject of Christmas has been coming up, and this time of year we get letters, emails, hey, is it okay to celebrate Christ's birth on Christmas? And there's a lot of confusion on that matter, especially when you have, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, well-intended, coming to your door, sometimes handing out pamphlets as to why you shouldn't celebrate Christmas, why it's not really a Christian holiday, and what have you. We spent the last two episodes looking at the very first question, because it's an important question regarding as to whether or not Christians should celebrate Christmas. And we looked at the first question, the biggest question. Jehovah's Witnesses accuse Christians of committing idolatry. Hey, you're worshiping Jesus, you know, you're celebrating Jesus. And I pointed out by their own writings that they used to celebrate Christmas, but they came against it later as creature worship, stating that, hey, Jesus is a mere creature. He should be worshiped on that day and what have you. And what I did is I gave a machine gun of verses showing that Jesus is not only to be worshiped, but I connected worship to his very birth. Let all the angels of God worship him when he comes into the world, Hebrews 1:6. In relationship to his very incarnation, him coming to the world, he's to be worshiped by angels, the wise men, sometime after he was born, came bearing gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they say in Matthew chapter 2, they said they wanted to worship him. And then we mentioned in John that Jesus said, if you don't honor him in the same way that you honor the Father, you don't have him, and you don't really honor the Father either. And we saw in the book of Revelation that Jesus, like the Father, is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. In Revelation chapter 5, not only every creature on earth and under the earth and hell, but every creature in heaven, including the angels, the seraphim and the cherubim, says all of them worship the Father and the Son. They gave him the same glory. Tragically, Jehovah's Witnesses are considered a cult because, and accurately, they're considered cultic because they do not worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Long before the rise of Catholicism and the rise of other isms, Jesus Christ was exalted as God in the flesh. In fact, some of our favorite passages that prophesy his coming into the world, his birth into the world, the first Christmas, are about him being God, that the mighty God, the Emmanuel, God with us, would be born into the world. Well, folks, now we look at some of the other questions that attend this subject regarding Christmas. And some of these are questions that are brought to the fore by well-meaning believers, Christians, who have differences of viewpoints in regard to whether or not Christians can celebrate Christmas. And I want to look at some of those. And certainly as genuine Christians, those who believe that Jesus Christ is God, that we're saved by grace alone through faith alone, that he rose bodily and what have you, heaven and hell, and that the scriptures are inerrant, all these wonderful biblical truths, we can have difference of opinions in these areas. Yet according to Romans chapter 14, we're not to divide on these issues, although they're worth looking at so we have clarity, so we have more insight. And one of the objections that's brought up is, hey, you know what? We don't really know what day Jesus was born, therefore we really shouldn't, celebrate his birth on any day. I have a problem with that. On a practical level, we don't know the exact day he was born, but does that mean we can't take a day out and celebrate the fact that God became a man to save us from hell? For instance, if I had an adopted child, and when I adopted that little boy or little girl, and they told me that, they weren't sure when this baby was exactly born, they couldn't really know, would I just, celebrate the birth of my other children and, have a few other birthdays I celebrate with my other children each year, but hey, we're going to skip yours, Johnny, because we don't really know what day you were born. Now, that would be ridiculous to say you can't pick a day to celebrate someone's birth, and it would be even more ridiculous to say you couldn't celebrate symbolically the fact that Jesus came into the world and take a day. Can also take, for instance, a lot of children are born on February 29th, leap year. So does that mean, hey, they can only celebrate their birth, once every 4 years? you know, and you can't take the 28th of February and celebrate their birth and say, you know, sorry, Charlie, you know, you're born on the 29th, so we're just going to celebrate your birth every 4 years. It'd actually be silly to say, hey, you couldn't actually celebrate that child's birth every year. So to say that just because that we don't know the exact date of Jesus' birth, that it's wrong to celebrate his birth, it has no bearing in scripture. There's no scripture that states that, and it has no bearing in logic either. Now, it's interesting because we can also say that in regard to Thanksgiving. There's no scriptures that state that we can take a day out and give thanksgiving to God for our country, for giving us food and sustenance and life. However, most Christians rightly feel like it's fine. In fact, it's not just fine. It's a good thing to give thanks to God. And in fact, if there'd be a time of the year where the nation thinks it's acceptable to actually give thanks to God, I think there's all more power to us in that regard, and that we should exemplify the attributes and the qualities of our God's providence and the beauty of his ultimate gift, his son, in giving us salvation, and give thanks to him on that date. And so the scriptures don't mention several things that we actually participate in that we don't think are wrong. In fact, there's some scriptures that could actually be used in an imbalanced way to dissuade people from even being healed. In fact, there's many people who in the Word Faith movement who say, hey, it's wrong to go to a doctor, or in the Christian Science cult, who say, hey, you know what, you know, everything's an illusion and what have you. And there's many in the Word Faith movement who you say, hey, you just need to have enough faith, you know. The scriptures say to go to the elders of the church for prayer and for oil and healing and what have you. So it's wrong to go to a doctor. And sometimes they'll cite 2 Chronicles chapter 16, where King Asa went to the doctors and died, and he was judged. And they'll say, hey, you shouldn't go to the doctor. You know, it's unscriptural because there's no verses that command us to go to the doctor. However, that would be wrong. That would be really wrong. I mean, the scriptures tell us that God's given us the leaves for the healing of the nations. There's many examples in the scripture where God uses the physical things he's provided in this world to bring healing, whether it's physical ingestion for health, or whether it's oil to be administered to somebody who has a wound, as the Good Samaritan did. Luke, he's called the beloved physician. I don't think he'd be called the beloved physician if being a doctor was wrong. He'd be called the demonic physician or something. So it wasn't wrong to be a doctor. It was a good thing. The problem in Asa's case is that he went to the doctor and did not seek the Lord. He was in rebellion to God. That's the context there. He started supporting, made allies with an enemy of God, and God gave him a foot disease to bring him to repentance. He refused to repent, which shows you that not all God's children always repent. And God had severely disciplined him. And then he continued to go astray. And then God put him to death. This is a man who died in rebellion against God and was under God's judgment, and is a warning to all of us that, you know, we can fall away from God. However, the problem with Asa is he did not seek the Lord. He did not cry out to God. He did not seek him. I believe biblically we learn from that is that when we first go through something, we're suffering an ailment, first thing we should do is cry out to God and seek him. You know, if you have a horrific headache, cry out to God and say, Lord, please take this away. However, God is not against you taking some remedy to alleviate your headache. So what I would say is that we need to have a balanced scriptural approach, comparing scripture with scripture, spiritual things with spiritual things. In the case of seeking God or seeking doctors, well, actually, we should seek God first, his kingdom, his righteousness. But also, doctors are not presented as a off-limits deal in the scripture. So I would say, actually, the Lord, and then also he's provided doctors. Praise God for many of the wonderful doctors and nurses that he's provided, and those folks in the health community. We can also look at scriptures, for instance, where the Jews said, hey, you have to keep the law stringently, you have to keep the Sabbath, yet Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, and they condemned Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, which of you who has a hurt animal in a ditch does not go and take it out, even on the Sabbath? In other words, Jesus said, and Jesus just made it clear, he said, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? I'd say the same thing. Is it wrong to celebrate Jesus' birth and give him glory one day a year? Obviously not. There's no scriptures that would preclude that. Another objection is that, hey, you know what? Christmas coincides with a pagan holiday back in those days, December 25th. That was a day that people worshiped Mithra. Therefore, it's wrong for people to worship Jesus on the same day they worshiped Mithra. Well, folks, I think we need to get some things into perspective here. There were a lot of Christians, a lot of people coming to Christ in those days, and celebrating and worshiping Mithra was a very prominent holiday. Many of the Roman soldiers were involved in it. Many Roman soldiers were being converted to Christ. And there were huge feast days honoring Mithra. And many well-meaning people said, hey, instead of celebrating Mithra, why don't we take that day and focus on Jesus and celebrate the fact that Jesus came to the world and that he's our Savior and not Mithra. And you know, folks, I don't think that's a bad idea. In fact, every year on October 31st, instead of having our kids dress up like demons and witches and you know, going to the door saying trick or treat and celebrating Samhain and ancient paganism, here at the fellowship where I pastor at Blessed Hope Chapel here in Simi Valley, California, October 31st, we have a harvest night. We have a harvest festival where we don't dress up like demons and devils. We don't dress up at all. And we get together, parents, adults, kids, a big gathering, and have a great time of Christian fellowship where we just honor our Lord and we talk about Jesus and we have a joyful time in the Lord. And that's a great thing. So some would say, oh, wow, they're celebrating Halloween by celebrating Jesus on harvest night. No, actually, it's absolutely the opposite. It's giving our children alternatives so they don't get drawn in and tempted to celebrate darkness, because the Bible says to abstain, commands us to abstain from all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, that would certainly mean Halloween, where it's all about a celebration of darkness and evil. So we celebrate Jesus. So why not take the 25th out and celebrate Jesus? That's like saying, hey, we can't worship on the first day of the week, even though the early church, I can show you several scriptures that point out that the early church and the early church fathers, that they worshiped on the first day of the week. Well, that was Sunday. That was a day that people worshiped the sun god. Can we say, hey, man, we shouldn't worship on Sunday? Well, what about Monday? Monday, Moonday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, I mean, oh, Saturday, Saturn. All these days are basically named after pagan gods. So when we say these days, we're not actually worshiping pagan gods. When we say Christmas, we're not worshiping pagan gods. We're in fact worshiping Jesus. In fact, if that's what you're doing on the 25th of December, if you celebrate Christmas, I sure hope you're focused on Jesus and not on materialism, because that holiday has been, you know, really jaded through the years. So as Christians, if we're going to celebrate Christ's birth coming to the world, I think it's a great idea. It's not something that we say you have to do or you can't do. The scriptures just leave it open. But if you want to honor Jesus on that day, let's make sure we do it in the spirit of Christ, that we do it in the spirit of love and of righteousness, and exalt Jesus and honor him.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to one of the most informative half hours in radio here at the Good Fight Radio Show. We're looking at Christmas and whether or not Christians can celebrate it. And the next objection I'd like to look at is the objection that, which is related to the ones I've just mentioned, that, hey, you know what? It's an extra biblical holiday, you know, tradition's wrong. Well, the Bible does state that unbiblical traditions are wrong. The Bible doesn't warn against traditions that are not unbiblical. In fact, there are many holidays in the Jewish calendar, in the Old Testament text itself, that are commendable and held commendable by Scripture, even though they weren't sanctioned by God. They weren't holidays that God said, you know, like the different feasts, three different feasts. There were seven different feasts, but three a year that the Jews had to go to Jerusalem to celebrate and what have you. There were other holidays besides those that were not commanded by God to be celebrated. And I can give you several examples, but I'll just give you a couple. One would be during the days of Esther. And the whole situation with Haman and Mordecai, there were national victories in the days of Esther. And we learn in Esther chapter 9 that there was a date that was taken by the Jews to celebrate the victories that they had had at Purim, or some say Purim, on Adar 14, became like a national holiday. And that was never commanded by God. And that was a day that they just took out to celebrate the victories during Esther's time. So folks, it would be ridiculous to say, hey, God can, you know, it can be acceptable and commendable to highlight certain days where such and such, which is more than one example of this, by the way, in the Old Testament, had a great victory, but not celebrate the fact that the greatest victory of all, the greatest victor of all, came into the world and was born in the world. And you can't take a day out and celebrate his birth. I'm just saying there's no biblical warrant. That's just pure legalism to say that, hey, you can't celebrate, take a day out and celebrate Christ's birth. There's many examples. Another example would be Hanukkah. We call it the Feast of Lights, or the Jews celebrate Hanukkah around the same time Christians celebrate Christmas, and it's based on the Book of Maccabees, which is not canonical. It's an extra-biblical book, but it talks about a historical time where the sons of Judah had this great victory in the time of the Maccabees, and the Greeks were ruling that time. And I don't have time to get into the story because I only have a little bit of time left. But I'll just say this: based on what they felt was a supernatural event of oil being supernaturally preserved to give them light, they began to celebrate Hanukkah. You know what's interesting about Hanukkah, though? When you go to the scripture and you go through the Gospel of John, guess who went to a Hanukkah celebration? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, is Jesus to be condemned because he went to a Hanukkah celebration, even though God never says to celebrate Hanukkah in the Old Testament? Absolutely not. In fact, there's something we can actually learn from that, but that'll be in our last message when we talk about whether or not we can celebrate Christmas and how it should be celebrated and what have you, which will be next week, Lord willing. But I want to get on to some other things here. Some say, now most Christians would not say this, but Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, would say, well, you shouldn't celebrate a birthday anyway. You know, there's no examples of birthdays being celebrated in the Bible, and therefore it shouldn't be no birthday should be celebrated. Well, that's open to some incredible debate, and with the last example I'll give, it'll be a slam dunk that Jehovah's Witnesses would lose that debate every time. Job 1:4, it talks about how Job's sons would go and hold a feast in their house, each on his own day. Well, some scholars believe it speaks of, each on their own birthday. In fact, the NIV, the New International Version, says, quote, his sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, quote, end quote. Now, Job was the most blameless man on the planet, the scriptures tell us, and he raises his children in the Lord. He was a God-fearing father. But it's interesting, even if we say, that's debatable as to whether or not that's speaking of the birthdays, and I agree, the text itself isn't super clear. Here's something that isn't debatable as far as celebrating birthdays. In fact, the claim that there's no example of a single birthday celebration, all of Scripture, is blatantly false when you realize that the most incredible birthday of all time, the fact that the greatest birthday celebration of all time, is the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't want to, go through all the scriptures I went through in previous messages on this subject matter. However, I'll just say, you remember that the wise men just came. It took them a long time to get there, but to worship when they realized that Jesus had been born in the world. Hebrews 1:6, God himself commands all the angels to worship him, that is Jesus, when he brings him into the world, when he brings his son into the world, all the angels of God worship him. And then in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Praise God, folks. The greatest birthday celebration ever was when Jesus was born. And folks, I'm encouraging you, if you're wondering if there's any holiday that's worthy of being celebrated, it's the fact that Jesus came into the world. In fact, Satan tried to get the first Christmas. I mean, he tried to keep the first Christmas from ever taking place. And God pulled off the first Christmas. In fact, there's a message I did years ago called Pulling Off the First Christmas. And I went through all these Old Testament passages that showed, and New Testament, where Satan tried to keep Jesus from coming into the world. And he also tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross. Even when Jesus was on the cross, he said, hey, if you're the Son of God, get down from there. I should say he channeled through Jesus' enemies. Jesus' victories are definitely worth celebrating. The world celebrates all the most ridiculous things and darkness. Like I said, Halloween, it's becoming one of the more popular holidays in our world. How much more should us Christians say, hey, you know what? Jesus Christ is Lord, and celebrate the fact that he came to the world, especially at a time where the world is more open than any other time of the year to hearing about Jesus, where there's Christmas songs, even with Christ's name being exalted and the gospel being presented through Christmas songs throughout stores and department stores and all over the place during Christmas time. Why should we join with atheists and Jehovah's Witnesses who hate that holiday? Why should we join with atheists who despise Christ and despise the fact that Christians exalt him on that day? Now, you'll notice that many of the objections I've looked at this day are related to the date of his birth and the day and what have you. And And another objection, which really isn't so much of an objection, but many scholars point out that, hey, it was most likely that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th because of the cold weather at that time, and shepherds wouldn't be out with their sheep in the fields and what have you, and some dispute that, and they go back and forth. And I state, no, most likely he probably wasn't born on December 25th. I agree with that. In fact, many scholars point out that he most likely was born in the fall. In fact, many scholars like the idea of Jesus being born, or they give credence to the idea that he was born in the fall in the Feast of Tabernacles, which makes sense because the Feast of Tabernacles is very likely a typology or picture of Jesus coming into the world. In fact, it's interesting. It would make a lot of sense as well because John 1:14 speaks of Jesus. It says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Well, the Greek word right there literally means he tabernacled among us, which would fit the picture, the typology very well. But you know what's interesting about that is, I find very interesting about that, is if you count back about 265, 67 days from the date of the Feast of Tabernacles, it brings you to about December 25th. Now, December 25th is a date that people celebrate Christ's birth coming to the world. I think it's interesting. So it's very likely, very possible, very, very likely that Jesus was actually conceived on December 25th, was literally born in the world as far as conception goes on the 25th of December or thereabout, nearby December 25th. And I think this is interesting because somebody might say, hey, well, you know, why celebrate his conception, him coming into the world? Well, it's interesting when Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, got news that she had conceived Jesus, that he had come into the world via conception. Not only does she rejoice, but John the Baptist, who was 6 months in Elizabeth's womb, it says he leapt for joy by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit caused John the Baptist to leap for joy and excitement that Jesus had been conceived in the world. So even if Jesus was born at the Feast of Tabernacles, if you back up 9 months, it brings you right around to December 25th when he was actually conceived, right around that time, very likely. And it's at that time that John the Baptist was leaping and rejoicing that Jesus Christ was conceived in the world. So if you have a hard time on December 25th saying, hey, he wasn't actually born on this day, you can actually say, praise God, it's very likely that he was conceived right around this time. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of our time slot. We'd like to thank you again for joining us on another Good Fight radio show. And I encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus and your hand on the plow. And remember that Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 24 that many would fall away in the last days, but the one who endures to the end would be saved. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight radio show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Is it true that Satan is working behind the scenes in pop culture and music, influencing our families?
I'm glad you're influenced by us. Do you need drugs? Go home and smoke something.
They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll reveals rare footage that MTV and VH1 would dare not show you.
Listen, if you're ever going to commit a crime, you should do it now because you're still a minor.
And I'm influencing your children.
They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll is one of many resources offered by Pastor Joe Schimmel and Good Fight Ministries, used to equip parents, educators, pastors, and various ministry leaders around the world with vital information needed to safeguard youth and adults alike from the overwhelming draw of society's destructive influences. Pick up your copy of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll today by visiting www.goodfight.org. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll is the presentation you can't afford to miss.
And I'm influencing your children.